Hello?
Hello?
Yes, oh, is this Angela?
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
Oh, thank you. This is Dawn,
Yes,
I take it.
it is. I'm so glad you're here with me.
Thank you.
And I'm behind on answering your questions, but I will get to them today. So,
Okay, yeah, no problem. No
just
problem.
kind of got overwhelmed. So, and may not always answer as many questions on a Monday. I mean, on a
Oh,
weekend.
that's, yeah, no problem at all.
Okay. Who's joined? It sounded like somebody joined us.
I didn't hear anything on my end.
Oh, I Chris.
Oh, hi, Chris. How
Hi.
you
Doing fine.
doing? Good. Glad to have you here. Unfortunately, we're going to have some people who are going to miss today. So that's too bad because we love having them with us. But I think we're going to miss John. And who else contacted me now? I don't remember. Oh, Vicky and one other person. So, and we already have Angela on the line with us.
Hi,
Hello.
Angela. Welcome
Hi
to
there.
the group.
Thank you very much.
And Chris, you'll see that I finally conquered my green screen.
Oh, you did it, didn't you? Son of a gun.
Finally got
Yes.
it. And my lighting. So
Yeah,
both.
good.
So yay. That was a lot of work. And I'm seeing something still I want to adjust. Hi, Heather. I see you. Do you hear us?
Are you talking to me, Donna?
Yeah, I said hi, Heather.
Yeah, I just had to hit the button to log in. Hi.
Oh, hi. Glad you're with us today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And we've got Chris and Angela on the line.
Hello.
And who just joined?
Hey, Donna, it's Carol.
Hi, Carol. So glad to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And it looks like that's Katie. And another beep, and let's see who that was. Oh, that's Carissa. One, two, three, four, five. Okay, so we're still missing Matt. And John is the, oh, I said John. There's one other person that emailed that they couldn't make it. And we're coming right up on time, so I'll just give it another minute and then we'll go forward. And that's Ariana.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you here with us today.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Matt. He's still getting on board with us. So that's 27. Should just have a couple more, but we're at the beginning of the meeting, so when Matt says hello to us, then we'll get going.
Hello, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, and you look handsome today.
Thank you. I'm on my phone because I was trying to connect via the computer and I was getting an error message, so I'm not sure
Oh,
why.
okay. Well, hopefully you have the paper handout.
I do.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so we will get started. Welcome, everyone. I think we may have a couple more to join us. So glad to have you all here. I've made small changes to the PowerPoint since you printed it out, if you did print it out. I just always keep changing it up till the last minute. So that's
Donna, are you going to do a code or something?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Chris is the keeper of the codes for those of you. I know who's not here. Plum's not here yet. I hope that Plum is going to make it. She might be having trouble. Let me just double check there's not an email from her. No, since this is her first one, I thought maybe And who is that that joined? Okay. So hopefully
this is Plum.
Oh, hi, Plum.
Hey, Donna, how are you?
Good. I'm just getting started. So today we are going to talk about team changes, close rates, the average survey score, which I'm so excited about, Glacier Point Solutions and coach accomplishments, and then sales, overcoming the request to talk to some of your clients. We get that request from time to time. And my wise coach many years ago gave me a great way to overcome it, and so I want to share that with you. Maintaining coaching session frequency, coaching engagement length, and helping clients see the value in coaching. And then if we have a little extra time, we may talk a little bit about closure. So there's our beautiful team. We've got some changes. And I did want to show you where we are in the United States, so you can see that we're all across the United States. Our new virtual assistant is up here in Calgary. We have three people in the LA area, three people in the Denver area, and then one in Chicago, and then a couple around in this area here, and then one all the way near Virginia Beach and all the way up to Nova Scotia. So we are across the United States and Canada. So we're international.
Yay!
Yay. I do have a sad announcement today, but happy announcement for her. And Heather has joined us today, so that was really nice of her. Heather Backstrom is going to discontinue doing coaching with us. Her business has grown such that she doesn't have capacity for us any longer. It's great news for Heather, and we wish her all the luck, but we're going to miss her. She's been a great addition to the team, a great thinker, obviously, with that PhD. She's got lots to offer us, and we'll miss that. But we want to thank you. And Heather, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Donna. And I've known Donna many, many years, probably longer than most or perhaps everybody.
Everyone.
But I have had the opportunity to watch Donna's business grow and thrive and build and build and become international. So as a friend and as a colleague, it really has been quite tremendous and quite inspiring to see Donna and her growth and all that she has accomplished and where she is. And I know where she continues to grow and will continue to be. So thank you, Donna, for giving me the opportunity to be part of the team during these past number of years. So thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for those kind words. That means a lot to me. And yeah, Heather and I started in our coach training in 2005 or 2004. Mm-hmm. And we were in an in-person training at Cal State Long Beach. And we were both fledgling coaches at that point. And I think I wanted to coach people who are retiring. Mm-hmm. And she actually talked about coaching for Feng Shui, I think, at that point.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. That's right.
So that goes way back with Vance Caesar. And but yes, we will continue to be friends. And she's in the LA area, so I'm able to see her from time to time. But we won't have her on our team anymore. Mm-hmm. And let's just wish Heather good luck and say farewell.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All the best, Heather.
Thank you.
Thanks. We do have other changes to our team, and I would, Heather, you're welcome to stay, but I would have a feeling that you'd probably leave. So you've got other things to get done, but we'll miss you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, and have a great meeting, everybody. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
We have a new coach, and I just want to check one more time to make sure there's no email. Plum, you did join us. Okay. So Plum Cluverius, I met her through David Cooper, who is a fellow coach, and we were subcontracting on a contract together with David, and she trained at the Newfail Network. She has an MA in Applied Behavior Studies. an OD background, consulting background. She's worked in healthcare and government. She is an adjunct professor, and she is the one in the Richmond, Virginia area. And Plum, if you could just share a little bit about yourself and then types of clients you like to work with. We'd love to get to know you a little bit. Before you start, though, I'll say your cup, your specialized cup, and by the way, I'm drinking out of my Paris cup today, but your special cup has a chameleon on it because you support change and flexibility and agility in leaders. And by the way, Plum is going to do leadership coaching with us, executive coaching with us. And Plum, if you could answer the question, types of clients you like to work with, that would be great.
Okay, that would be awesome. And thank you so much, Donna, for that. Was a lovely welcome and introduction. And hello, everyone else. I can see you're smiling. I can see your faces in the photographs, and it's exciting to have a chance to work with you all. The thing that you asked me two questions, Donna, in your email, and one was, you know, like a coaching moment that I'm proudest of. And I think that actually answers both questions, because when I thought about it, I thought the thing that I'm proudest about is that I work with, you know, all kinds of clients. So my background is in the, is working in a corporate environment, but also small businesses and mid-sized businesses in the every sector of government, so local government, state government, the federal government, nonprofits, universities. And so I've coached individuals in all those different sectors, and also every leadership level from first line supervisor to CEO. And that's, I think, what I'm proudest of, is that I can flex to any of those and connect with people, you know, really easily, so that they trust me very quickly. And I don't know how exactly that happens, but I know that it does. And so that's the thing that I'm most proud of. And in all honesty, Donna, I really like the challenge of working with people that at pretty much at any place in the organization. So I know, you know, you should have a favorite, and you should say, this is really my niche or area of expertise. But in all honesty, that would be boring to me. And to be able to work with, you know, all different kinds is what I like the best.
Wonderful. And I think what's special about you, Plum, is that you instantly make people feel comfortable, and also that you're very professional. And you and I had done a call when we were doing the work for David Cooper, and immediately I connected with you, and I kept your name all these years. I mean, this was probably 8 years ago, and contacted you, you know, 8 years later, because you stuck in my mind.
Well, I was really honored that that had happened, and I'm excited to be part of the Glacier Point Solutions team, and have really enjoyed the connections that we've had so far, Donna. So looking forward to continuing that, and hopefully meeting some of the other people. I'm looking on the map, and I'm kind of far away from most people. So, but you never know. So
yeah, well, and you can do phone calls, which is what we do anyway. So
right, that's easy.
Yeah, that's easy. We can do phone calls. Great, thank you, Tom, and welcome to the team. We're so glad to have you, and I know we're all going to learn from having you on the team. So,
yeah, thank you, Donna. It's my pleasure.
So next, we have our new virtual assistant, Angela Lindland. Angela is Lorraine's VA, and some of you know Lorraine. She's been doing virtual assistant work since 2002, so she has a great deal of experience. I'm excited to take advantage of her writing and editing skills, something that I need. I was an English major and I was an editor, but as I've gotten older, I've gotten really terrible at editing. So I need that proofreading and editing support, and we're just really excited to have her. She is in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And Angela, if you could tell us what you like about virtual assisting, and also one thing about you that we don't know, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm excited to join the team. As Donna mentioned, I'm from Canada, so I'm the furthest up north one on that map there. So I'm pretty far up. What I like about virtual assisting is that I'm my own boss. So I get to set my hours and, you know, I get to set my work arrangements and things like that. And I really enjoy also finding innovative solutions to people's problems and trying to like think of better ways to do things. So that's one of the things that I really enjoy about that. During the day, I actually do have a full-time job and I work for my local government, the City of Calgary. So I work right down in City Hall. And on Mondays, so today, I actually get to work from home. So I'm very fortunate. They have a very flexible working arrangement. It's a really great position that I really appreciate. And I also really enjoy doing my VA work in the evenings and weekends. Something about me that you don't know. I guess one of the things that you might find surprising is that I've been to Pakistan. So that's pretty far away. And my dad used to work for an oil company and he had us kids come and visit him one summer. So it was pretty cool. We got to see Islamabad and Lahore and quite a different environment than Canada and the States, which is basically the most places I've visited. So.
Wonderful. That's really an interesting experience to have had. I know I've been to Egypt and countries in that part of the world are quite different than they are here. So great
Absolutely.
Experience. And all of us, let's welcome Angela to the team. Anyone who isn't muted anyway.
Welcome, Angela.
Welcome, Angela.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. And actually, I've been familiar with Donna since about, I think 2014 is when she started coaching with Larray. So and a lot of you I already know too through Larray as well.
So I guess that means I've been working with her 5 years, not 6 years.
Well, there you go.
There you go. So, wonderful. Thank you. And Angela's going to stay with us through the business part. And then when we move on to the coaching part, she will leave us and join us next time. I did want to talk about individual paying client close rates. You guys are doing... Yes.
You didn't give the first code.
Oh, I thought I did. 512. Okay, well, it'll be the middle code. I'm distractible. That's one of my characteristics. Okay, so 512, 512 is the first code. Thanks, Chris. So we've been bouncing around. Our goal is 50%, and we're beating 50% all the way through here. And even amazingly, in the third quarter so far, we're not quite finished, but we have 100% close rate, which is unbelievable. 7 opportunities and all of them closed, and there's the coaches that were represented in doing that. So congratulations, your hard work in increasing the close rates is paying off, and we want to continue to work and strive on that, but excellent job, really excellent job. Even more amazing is our coaching effectiveness survey results, which is on the corporate side 4.9 out of 5, which is amazing for all of 2018. And overall, so that takes the individual clients into account, it's 4.79 out of 5, which again is just an amazing result. To give you perspective, 3.2 out of 5 is satisfied, and 4.2 out of 5 is very satisfied. So we're way even above very satisfied on our coaching effectiveness surveys. And it's just, wow, you guys are amazing. And it just gives me so much confidence. And it gives us marketing, because then now we can say that we've got that high rate. So gosh, you guys, amazing work. And I know that you'll continue to do that. And thank you. I'm really proud of this company, really am. I wanted to share a comment that we received, and you'll recognize who this is. It's a CEO of a public publicly traded NASDAQ technology and aerospace company, somebody that appears on television quite often, was just on Mad Money with Pramer last week, I think on Thursday. And this is what we received from him about our whole team. So I want to read the entire thing because I'm so proud of you guys. The executive coaching that Glacier Point Solutions delivers to myself and our organization is tremendously valuable. We are all delighted with your team, and I am seeing meaningful leadership growth in our executive leadership and leadership team members who are participating in the program. We plan to continue to grow and expand our executive coaching program with Glacier Point Solutions. So that's wonderful news. Getting a little dry there. We have seen demonstrative improvements in our targeted leaders' leadership skills as a result of Glacier Point Solution coaching sessions, including improved interpersonal contact with their team members and peers, improved responsiveness to deadlines and commitments, improved attitudes towards team projects, better and more effective meetings, enhanced conflict management skills amongst peers and subordinates. And by the way, that's almost all of the goals that he brought to me when we first met. Glacier Point Solutions coaching methodology and delivery is personalized to individuals' needs with lots of flexibility, which has been key to further adoption within our leadership team and organization. By the way, he offered coaching to them. He did not say they had to get into coaching, so they're coming of their free will, and more of them are coming of their free will based on what they're hearing from their peers. Also, we have found that the telephonic method of conducting the coaching session is an advantage. I have as an advantage there, is an advantage of this coaching practice compared to others. So we've actually got a CEO saying on the phone is better, which is really exciting too. So just wow. Any comments or thoughts on that you want to share?
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's great.
It's fantastic.
Yes. This is a very, I'm sorry, Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick question. I'm curious as to his take on why they see the telephonic as an advantage.
I believe it's because it fits within people's schedules, but also he's been receiving coaching telephonically, and what he sees is it's easier to be open, I think, and I think that's, he's seeing his team trust us, and I think that he's seen a lot of growth for himself, and so he is endorsing the telephonic method. That's a great question.
Great. Thank you.
Anything else? Just yay us. This is everybody pretty much on the team almost, and it will be everybody. We did get a couple of more positive comments. I love that they're mentioning our resources, which means you're letting them know about the resources. So that's a good test of the system. And they're loving you guys as a staff. Katie has had quite a few positive comments, and some of you have had more than what is here, but I haven't been able to get them all in here yet. You may see more for one coach or a couple of coaches because they may have more clients with us, and that is a function of their business and their availability. So don't feel bad if you don't have a lot here, but we've got a really good representation here. We've got one from Katie that I love. She coaches me, this is the second one, coaches me holistically, intuitively tapping into what I need and going there. She takes great notes and links conversations easily together. She's an excellent listener and supporter, but also challenges me to do more. So, and this is somebody that I highly respect that Katie's coaching. So, and not necessarily an easy person to coach. So that's amazing. She's just a very intelligent, challenging, thought-provoking person. So it's a lot to be ready for her. Ariana, when I began my coaching sessions, I had no idea what to expect. I've never been in a supervisory and management, I mean, I've been in supervisory and management roles and never had the opportunity to work with a coach. So I began with an open mind and heart. I was having some very trying challenges in my current position with my team, and I was utilizing all the tools in my toolbox from prior lives. My coach was supportive, and she helped me to see situations from different perspectives. She provided me additional tools that helped me to work through obstacles. I will never be finished with my life learning plan, but I feel as if having a coach expanded my ability to approach the bumps in the road from new directions. Thank you, Arianna, for all your guidance and support. So another great comment here. Sherry is not with us, so I won't read hers, but it is really great. We've got Matt was very helpful, and I would enjoy working with him again. So that's a good testament that this person would work with him again. Chris is a great listener. She is great at offering suggestions and solutions. She also does a great job of being supportive and empathetic to what you are experiencing. So again, another fantastic comment. So our comments continue to show that you guys are doing great work, not just the scores, but the comments. We need to celebrate Arianna today because she has received her ACC, and that is, we know how, yes.
Woo-hoo! Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And it looks like
congratulations.
Thank you. It looks like I'm not smiling because I had dental work. So I can't smile as big as my picture. But I'm very happy and thrilled, and thank you very much.
We know how much work that is.
Well, as you know, Donna, I was procrastinating for quite a while. And so I just had to get my button gear and just get it done. And so I'm very happy that I did. So thank you.
Great. I think we've all procrastinated on that one. So congratulations. We're very proud of you. And we want to say that all of our coaches are certified. We've got one more to go. And I know that she's working diligently to get there as well. And but she's well on her way and she's coaching at a very high level. Accomplishments, administratively, we've continued to work on search engine optimization. We have added a Glacier Point Solutions Yelp as well as the Donna Schilder Yelp. We are working on LinkedIn presence. I have rewritten the first page of the landing pages for Donna Schilder. Yay! Arianna's going to be happy with me for that because she always has to explain that there's more than just one of us. But I did rewrite the homepage. Take a look at it. If you have suggestions, ideas, or you see a typo, send it to me, please. I did my first video blog not too long ago, and that was quite an accomplishment just to break through and do that. And I'm going to be doing another one this week. I am also trying to really commit to that monthly leadership blog because I know that's going to help us. I have conquered the green screen finally, and also my lighting. So I'm pretty excited about that. And we have implemented a new streamlined billing process and of course selected a new virtual assistant. So those are administrative accomplishments. Are there any other coach accomplishments that we need to share that I missed? Okay, well, I know you guys are doing big things out there. You're just not telling me. As far as projects ongoing, the Canon Group, which is WMWD, we are finishing up 6 disc debrief engagements for 2 sessions each. We continue to coach 9 at LBS. Those have changed, but there's still 9 people. At AeroVironment, we added 1. And so we continue to coach the CEO and 7 leaders. And we also completed 4 disc debriefs. And they're saying that there will be another leader that will be joining us as well. I am very excited that we have added Hilton Grand Vacations. This came to me. I didn't solicit it. They have 60,000 employees, and I'm just really excited. There are 2 people well, there are two leaders right now interviewing more than one coach to decide which coach they will work with. As far as I know, we're the only vendor. They plan to have up to 6 people this year and up to 10 next year, and will continue to rotate people through. So this should be an ongoing engagement, and I'm just really excited to get it. So wow. You'll be hearing more about that. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. Did it not go forward? Okay. The manufacturing company that I've been working to sell since 2016 fell apart, and the talent development leader went to a new company, although I'm hoping when she gets to the new company and gets settled, maybe we'll get in there. I may get one client from them, but it's just, they were saying it was going to be 10 to 12 clients going through continuously, and that one fell apart. You can see sometimes you work at these things and it doesn't always come to fruition. I've had many meetings with them. The large nationwide clothing manufacturer that I had met with the CEO and the SVP of Ops and had been working from 2017 is also not looking as good. I had been told at the end of this year, then I was told the first quarter next year, they got a new HR person, and now they're saying fourth quarter 2019. So a little sad about that, but still continuing to work with them, and hopefully we will get clients with them. And I'm hoping sooner, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. We have had 9 new individual in second quarter, 7 new in third quarter, 18. We're serving 37 clients, and we added one associate, new associate coach. And I guess this is the point where, Angela, if you can leave, I just wanted you to hear what the business was at this point. Okay. Thanks for being with us. And Katie, you're up. I wanted to have Katie talk about how she closes sales, just to give us a few more tips. She has a very good close rate, and I wanted to hear her perspective on what closes the sale. So, Katie, I'll throw it to you.
Okay. Hi, everybody. So I was thinking about this, what prompts them to take action and close a sale? I think the biggest thing is at the end of the sale, I'm asking them, I learned this from the last closing seminar we did. Are you thinking of twice a month or 3 times a month? And they may come back to me and say, well, what do you think? And I always say, well, 3 times a month, you're going to make much faster traction. And da 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 da, right? So then they decide, and then I say, great, well, we can set up our first call right now. And then our assistant can send you the agreement. That way it's on the calendar, we can get going. So there's a sense of urgency at the end of the call to get it going. And I think they're excited about what we've talked about. They've made their decision, and they're ready to put it on the calendar. So I think that's number one. I am asking for them to set up the appointment before they get off the phone. And I don't know. I think the other thing is just listening to them, jotting down what it is that they want out of the coaching. And then speaking to how I would coach around that and reflecting it back to them. And a lot of times provoking their thought about something they haven't thought about. Have you thought about incorporating this into your business model? Right? Oh my gosh, that's a great idea. So just kind of having a little brainstorm, depending on what the conversation is. Those would be my suggestions. I mean, that's kind of how I do it. I mean, we have 30 minutes to do it. So it's pretty directed and it's pretty specific. I kind of let them just download, because they're typically downloading a lot in the beginning, and then asking specific questions, and then getting clear about what they're looking for, reflecting that back and saying, when do you want to start?
Great. Great. And those tips apply to when you're doing the executive ones too. Not the number of sessions, that's usually set, but you know, reiterating something of value that they're going to get out of it. What are the benefits? And are you ready to book? I'm not concerned about you taking the client from the other person that might be talking to them from our company. So, you know, try to book them.
Yeah, I don't even think about that. One person had brought up, well, I'm also talking to another coach who has more of this experience. And so, you know, I don't look at it like, oh, it's somebody on my team. I think, oh my gosh, it's another coach. But I don't even look at it that way. It's kind of like, well, and I can understand your perspective on that. And how much more could your thought be provoked by someone looking new at this, right? Who's coming in neutral. Because that's where insight really happens. When we're not, you know, when we're really able to disrupt ourselves. So, you know, just showing my value. Showing my value. And on some of these, it's really sharing smart stories. I mean, star stories. You know, how I've worked with clients in your situation. Here's how we work together. Here was the outcome. And just creating that connection, that transparent connection, you know, honest, being honest with them.
Mm. Can you review what a star story is?
So it's talking about, oh, I had a similar client with a similar situation, sharing their situation, sharing the challenges they've had that were similar to maybe this client, and then sharing the action, what we coached around, right? Kind of the action they chose to take and the result they got in the time they coached with me.
Yes, yes. So what I found when I was doing a lot of consultations was I would either share a story of a past client or I would share a story about myself mm-hmm. and how I had overcome something similar. So if it was public speaking, I could talk to the fear I initially had and then the things that I did and then how I stood in the, you know, the positive outcome. And I would say another thing about Katie is she really owns her value as a coach. She owns coaching as something that works really well for people, and she has confidence, and it's very crisp. You know, you just kind of get into it and get to the point, and, you know, as long as they're very clear about the benefit, then asking them to go ahead and go forward, you know, makes more sense, I think.
I think the other thing is I sense things about them, which I'm sure we all do. And so it's communicating that. My sense is you're blah, 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 blah. You're struggling with blah, 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 or this may be da, da, da. And one client in particular said, you hit the nail on the head. More than one client said that. So they know that I get them. Mm-hmm. I think that's important for them because then it's like, oh, she gets me. She's going to be able to get underneath this so that I can shift this behavior.
So following your intuition, even on the consultation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Anything else?
No.
Okay. That's fantastic. Any comments or questions about that? Okay. I think that was really helpful. Thanks, Katie. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. One objection that people have brought up that I don't think we've talked a lot about is I need to talk to some of your clients. And early in my coaching, my coach said to me, because I felt really like I had to, as soon as I heard that, I had to prove something. You know, I have to prove that I'm good. I have to have, you know, all the different certifications. I have to have, you know, I need to prove something to them. And what she said was that usually when they're asking for that, there's actually a deeper reason that they're asking. It's really about their fear or discomfort, their fear that they're not going to make forward progress. So that helped me not feel threatened. And the question that she gave me is, what drives you to want to talk to my clients? You know, what's beneath your need to talk to my clients? You know, I know that coaching works. I'm conveying to you that coaching works. What's your fear? So that was really helpful to me. Also offering a short complimentary coaching session so they can experience it. Well, why don't we instead do some coaching so that you can see what it's like and how it's so beneficial. Also taking them to LinkedIn and showing them that they can see who wrote the testimonial on LinkedIn makes the testimonial come alive. It's not just a sentence anymore. It's, you know, Joe Jones said this and he has this background and he's the one that said this. So I think that's really helpful. Also reassuring them, reiterating your credentials and your experience. And like I said, telling them a story about a client that was like them that succeeded. And then if all else fails, you might have a client that would answer questions via email, and that might not be as intrusive, or might respond to a phone call. And by the way, the CEO at the top of the hour that gave that recommendation wouldn't put his name to it, you know, they're publicly traded, so forth, but said that he would talk to anyone for me. So even at the highest level, at a place where they're so busy, they will help you. You just got to ask them. But I much prefer not having them go off and talk to someone, because that's more time that goes by that they could either decide not to coach or find another coach. And so I think the faster we can do all of this, the better. We want to seize the moment. And if they are going to talk to somebody else, you know, so to me, actually, the LinkedIn thing, you know, if you can see who wrote the testimonial, I think that should be enough.
Hey, I have, and can I say something about that?
Sure.
I had a guy reach out to me, and I said, well, how did you come about my name? And he said, I Googled executive coaches in Denver. And then he said, and then I looked at your LinkedIn profile, and I saw one of your recommendations was from a buddy of mine. And so I called my buddy, who I hadn't talked to in a long time, and that's what made me call you.
Wow.
So they read the recommendations.
Oh, they sure do. They read, and so we have recommendations on Yelp. We have recommendations on LinkedIn. And by the way, keep getting those recommendations, especially at the end of your coaching engagements. Make sure that you get a testimonial or a recommendation from every client. And that's yours and ours. And it will help in both arenas. So, you know, keep collecting those.
So Donna, can mm-hmm. we use the recommendations then for our personal work?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, you can. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Any other comments or questions about overcoming that objection? Okay. I wanted to talk about coaching session frequency, especially with individual clients. Usually the executive ones are already set, but with individual clients, and by the way, Katie, I would say, do you want to sign up for 3 times a month? And then if they say to, let them go to, don't even, you know, give them that option. You know, if they say, oh, well, that's a little too rich for my blood, then you say, well, you can do it 2 times a month.
What is our trend? I mean, do we have more 3 times, 2 times, 1 time?
More 2 and 1.
2 and 1.
Yeah. And well, and it is summer, so there's been a lot of ones because of summer.
Yeah.
But there's more ones and twos, very few threes. There's, you know, 3 or 4 threes, and I would like to see more. And I believe that they're better served with 3 sessions. So, I don't know how you guys feel, but for me, you know, 3 times a month, you're getting a deeper connection, you're getting more consistency, you're remembering what you were working on, you're not wasting time summarizing as much. So, and if I could sell all corporate clients on 3 times a month, I would. I do when I can, but not all leaders really have the time to do that. But here are some tips for maintaining coaching session frequency. And we've talked about getting more frequency in the beginning. One is get their sessions done early in the month. Because then if they have to move it, you still have time in the same month. So some people don't think in those terms. They just let the dates go wherever they will. But having it earlier in the month makes you have more of a chance of getting it done. Let them know the benefit of more frequent and regular coaching sessions. So anybody have anything that they want to add to that as far as what are the benefits of coaching 3 times a month rather than 2 times a month?
My experience has been that they reach their goals quicker.
Yes. Yes. Ariana, do you have anything on that?
Yeah, no, it's very similar to Katie. It's the consistency around, it helps them maintain focus on their goals and maintain focus on their actions and activity around those. So knowing that you're meeting with your coach, you know, for 3 times, that's absolutely more focus for them.
Chris, do you have anything you could add to that? Okay, she's shaking her head no. What about Carissa?
I guess I'm looking down a couple lines too and looking at the creating new neural pathways through conversation and discussion. I'm thinking that that's probably been one of the biggest benefits for me, is that it keeps it those conversations front and center. So I'm thinking more in those ways, more frequently, and that has helped a lot.
It's you get something just from the coaching, not just from the action items too. You know, sometimes people will say, well, I can't get my action items done, but it doesn't matter if you get your action items done. What matters is that you are creating those neural pathways, that you are looking for new ways of thinking, that you're focusing on your priorities in the big picture, and that you have a sounding board. And all of those things are the benefits of coaching. The work in coaching is accomplished in the coaching itself, more so than in between the coaching. So the more of it you do, the better. And I find, especially at the beginning of the coaching engagement, that it deepens the connection. And I actually, by the way, found that if I did 4 sessions a month, that the connection got too much dependence on me. So that's why 3, and it also gives you a little bit more breathing room. But so 4, I think, is dependent, but I think 3 is connected. So, and Carissa, that's a great point, is talk about how you've benefited in your coaching engagement from 3 times versus 2 times. And it's the place to look at your action items and see why you're not accomplishing them. So, you know, not accomplishing them is not a reason to not come to coaching. Anything you want to add to that? Okay. So a goal for me would be, let's see if we can average 2.5, and then maybe in the long term, well, I think 2.5. Let's see if we can manage to average 2.5 on the number of individual coaching sessions people are doing. So that would be the goal, is between 2 and 3. But I do know that as the engagement goes on, 1 becomes appropriate in some situations. So that's fine too.
Hey Donna, what's the average length of a coaching engagement?
For us, I don't know that, but it's not as long as I want it to be. I think it's under 6 months for individual.
Really?
So, I think so, yeah. And so that's why I'm bringing this up. I mean, we should run the numbers, and I will. Thanks for asking that. But they're tending to be short, and, you know, or maybe it's 6 months, but it's not a year. For sure it's not a year. So what I would say, too, I mean, so the piece is we want to have 6 months to a year and even multiple years. I've worked with 1 coach for 8 years and 1 for 5. I thought 6, but 5. I've had lots of clients that have worked with me for 8 years, 10 years. And I don't think there's anything wrong with someone being in coaching in the long term. It's, you know, you always have your sounding board, you always have your problem solver. It's, my husband calls it part of your team. You know, you have your coach, and you have your therapist that you can go to if something goes wrong, and you have your masseuse, and you have your, you know, so it's my whole team that keeps me held together.
That's a good selling point.
Mm-hmm. That is.
You know, and what that does is I function better because I have my coach, and he'll always just say, hey, go talk to your coach about that. And you're not always depending on your husband or your partner or your best friend who isn't as skilled at this. Now, ethically, we shouldn't try to keep clients in coaching if they're not going to benefit or if they are ready to stop. Right? So ethically, we can't try to keep them in coaching, but it's up to us to support them in attaining their goals. And it's up to us to help them consistently change their behavior in the long term. It's up to us to deepen their learning. It's up to us to guide them to develop goals. And my personal belief is that we should always be developing goals. And I'm always continuously coming up with a new goal, at least twice a year, but I think pretty much all through the year. And so these are ways that we should be working to extend the engagements more than 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. To really get the benefit out of coaching, it should be a year. So I just wanted to bring this up with everyone. I'm going to give you some tools, and we're also going to do some discussion around it. So one thing is leveraging all the tools on Donna Schilder. One thing that I've always done when I'm coaching clients is I keep the list. I actually take my file folder and I staple the list of topics of what they could work on, their goals, onto this side of the file. And as I'm working with them, I have it open and I'm adding things continuously. I don't think I've ever come out of, I mean, just maybe every other one, maybe come out of a coaching call without one new goal or one thing we could work on. It doesn't mean that we're going to, but then what happens is when they come to a call and they don't know what they want to work on, I say, okay, well, we've got these seven things on your list, which, you know, is there one there that you want to work on? So I'm perpetuating the growth and the engagement and the goal setting through what I'm doing during the coaching engagement. Also, there are the things to work on with your coach lists, and there's one on every, and I'll show this for Plum. Plum, this is the list of client pages, and you click from here to go to the different areas that we have resources on. I know you're familiar with it, but I just thought I'd show it again. When you come to this page, you can see the third link. I'm getting kind of a little bit of noise. Are you guys hearing noise?
I'm breathing.
Oh, no breathing.
I think it's me.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I put myself off of mute so I could say something to
you.
So.
Okay, perfect. Did you want to say something?
I was just going to say thank you for doing, you know, for having, you know, showing the list here. And while I have the floor, I wanted to ask you, when you have a chance to go back to talk some about what do you think are typical client objections when, you know, you say 3 times a month and they're going, oh, I can't possibly do that because of X. I'm just curious about what some of the, I mean, I can imagine just from the clients that I have, but I'm curious what you all are running into in terms of objections to that.
Great. So I would say they don't have enough time for the sessions. They say they don't have time to do the actions. They say they can't afford it. But for most people, if they can afford 2, they can afford 3. And it's an investment in themselves, and we need to help them understand spending the money makes a difference in their lives, and it's worth more than a car payment. anybody else with other objections that come up for the number of times? I might have hit them all. Yeah, I think that's it, Plum. Did you have further comment or?
No, I think that's awesome. I mean, I'm really liking what you're talking about. It's one of the things that I'm getting is, oh yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that I do in terms of closing a sale that I'm already doing them, and which is really awesome to hear other people say this is what I do. And then, and I think of in terms of thinking about the frequency, that's really a good reminder for me because I tend to be more like, oh, whatever you want, you know, kind of thing. And so I like this conversation.
Great. And there's more information about overcoming sales objections in some of the calls that are recorded. So, you know, take a look at those. And what I'll say too is I would notice that over time I might start slipping. And so I would go back and review sales objections and think about where I'm letting them off the hook. You know, so where we let them off the hook is frequency, engaging at all, you know, spending money, you know, we just, it's like, oh, okay, if you don't want to, but you know, we're here to tell them what works. And so we need to be strong in that we know that three times a month is better and that maybe over time they could go to two and but if you don't start with three, you know, it doesn't build the relationship as strongly and you don't build the momentum. We need to stand in what we know instead of acquiescing to what the client needs. And it's kind of a hard thing because we're told to focus on what they need and what they want, but we're also supposed to be experts in telling them what we know is true. So it's a balancing, and I think I would see myself kind of sliding into, oh, just do whatever the client wants. But no, we know, and we need to bring that expertise, and that's what they're paying us for. And that's why they want to be in coaching, is because we're experts in the process. So we need to educate them on what the process is. So, but it's easy to get weak in that. So, and we'll keep, you know, touching on this from time to time because you forget, you know, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Thanks for your question. On all of the client, main pages, there's always a things to work on with your coach, your leadership coach. Here. In this case, it's leadership, and the next one it'll be career, and the next one it'll be job search. And so coming back here and saying, you know, is there something else, you know, we were working on priorities, but now that we've gotten those done, is there something else here that we should be working on to make you a stronger leader? They came to it wanting to be a stronger leader. They said being a stronger leader was 1, 2, 3, but we know that there's other things that they could work on to be a stronger leader as well. So having this to look at is helpful. And in every type of coaching, there should be some life coaching. So, you know, offering the personal success topics, and there's many more, but is important too. I mean, if you want an executive to be strong, they do need to manage their health and manage their lifestyle and manage their spirituality. And, you know, so those things, especially health, should come up in every coaching engagement, not just in life coaching. So that's a reminder there too. So I wanted to touch on that there are certain inventories that are on the leadership client page, and we've talked about that recently. I'm going to put a poll up, and what I'd like you to do is mark all of those that you have used. So on your poll, just answer, click everything that you've used so far, the two assertiveness quizzes, the Thomas Kilman, the encouragement index, the leadership development questions, the VIA inventory, and the power perception inventory. So are you guys seeing the poll? Yeah.
Well, we have to do one.
Yeah, it only lets you.
Donna,
Yes.
No, this is Plum. I'm on the telephone, so I can't
see
it.
Okay. And you probably, you can tell me, have you used any of those at all? Have you used the power perception profile? You have, because we've talked about it.
Yes.
Okay. And, but know that there's an assertiveness, there's two assertiveness quizzes. There's the conflict mode. There's the encouragement index. There's leadership development questions. There's the values and action inventory. So I'm seeing only one person responding to this. Has, the rest of you
can only let you click one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I messed up then. Okay. Okay. I will master the poll thing next. Okay. Well, I'm seeing two responses. There's another one. Okay. So three responses.
Sorry, I closed mine when I couldn't.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Do one,
so. That's okay. Sorry about that. So I'm assuming a lot of you have used the power perception profile. The values and action inventory is something I will go through. The career team has gone through it on how to use it for career, but I will go through it on how to use it for all clients. It looks like some people have used the assertiveness quizzes. I would highly recommend that you use the encouragement index. How encouraging a leader are you? Let's find out. We have a quiz where you can answer and tell us, you know, which parts of those you're using. Plum, do you have others that you use of those?
The Thomas Kilman profile.
Good.
Was the other one I saw on the list. I mean, I use a lot of profiles. They're just not
the
there.
Same ones. Okay. Okay. But I'm hoping people will expand into using the ones that are here. So, and the Encouragement Index has a whole PowerPoint with it, and it actually goes with the book Encouraging the Heart. So it's useful for multiple things. So then I also wanted to talk about that there's stuff on the Donna Schilder website. I don't have a poll on this one, but those of you that came from Coach U should know Clean Sweep and Wheel of Life. Mm-hmm. You know, get your executive clients to use this as well. You know, abilities to say no, boundaries, gratitude, ideal day, conflict resolution for the, you know, all different kinds of clients. If you're Coach U, tolerations. Those of you that are not Coach U, you may want to become familiar with these, and I can always give you a few tips on how to use them. Having more happiness and joy is important to leaders. I've always said you can't follow an unhappy leader. I think it's really hard to follow an unhappy leader. You can do it, but you can't do it well. So I think that's important too. So I am going to try the breakout group thing again, and I'm going to have you guys talk about some of these things, the deepen their learning, guide them to do work they need to do to attain their goals, and support the client in designing goals. And then I'll have more information on how to go about using these tools. But so if you don't have the paper, jot this down so you have it for the discussion, because I'm going to break you out. And okay, there's breakout rooms. I'll just give you another second to jot that down. And I will visit the groups, and we'll give you 10 to 15 minutes. You can use chat to let me know that you're done if you complete early. And it looks like you're still writing a little bit, so I'll give you a little more time. I know that I have...
Donna?
Yes. Oh.
This is Carol.
Okay.
I'm completely lost in what you're talking about doing breakout groups and looking at a page.
And I'm also realizing that, that Carol and Plum won't be able to... get in. Well, no, it should still put you into a breakout room. So what you're going to do is I'm going to put you into groups, And so there'll be like three or four people in one group and three or four in another group. And if you're on the phone, you'll still be in that group. You'll just hear it versus seeing it, which is fine. And what you're going to discuss is on page 30 of the handout. And it's creating longer engagements, deepening their learning, guiding them to do work they need to do it to attain their goals, supporting the client in designing goals, and anything else that you know would help create longer engagements. So what else would help create longer engagements? I'm going to give you some things after this, but I want to hear what you guys come up with. Does that help, Carol?
It does, except my page 30 is inventories, oh, assessment tools.
Okay. It could be that I didn't get this slide into it before I sent it. I had a little bit of a snafu, but the other people in your group will have the topics, so I don't think that it'll be a problem. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I am going
to... Okay, so those of us on the phone... Hi, sorry, Donna, to interrupt. Okay. This is Plum. Those of us on the phone should just wait, and a group is going to start talking to us.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and if mm-hmm. you have a problem, chat, put something on email to me, or text me, one of the two. But otherwise, I think it should work, and everybody should go into a group. So
great.
I'm going to do it. I'm ready. Oops, I put wrong. Oh, wait, I know, I need luck for this. Okay, I'm going to put you in two groups. And it's going now.
Oh, there you go. Yes, I can hear. So this is Ariana.
Hi, Ariana. It's Plum.
Hi, Plum.
Hi, Ariana. It's Carol.
Hi, Carol. And Donna is in our
observing.
Group. She's observing. So maybe since you don't have the questions in front of you or the slide, I can repeat it. And the idea is to talk about how we can create longer client engagements. And she had, in our group, we can discuss how we can deepen the learning with our client, how we can guide them to do work, and they need to do to attain their goals, and how we can support the client in designing goals. So there were just those three bullets on the slide. So would you like me to repeat that, or is that?
Yeah, maybe we could just do them one at a time. Is that what you all are thinking?
Sure.
So if you'll just repeat the first one.
So the first one is, how can we work with our client to deepen their learning as a way to extend their coaching engagement? So.
Okay, I'm thinking.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I can tell you what I do with clients now. And so I don't know if this would be helpful in terms of extending the learning, but I usually do, and, they've set up, coaching goals, and then, what I would call outcomes. And what I mean by outcomes are what are the specific things they need to learn in order to achieve whatever their overarching goal is. And mm-hmm. so that's all in kind of part of the contracting process or a contracting process. And then at halfway through whatever our engagement is.
Your client said she's able to help me see connections between multiple conversations. And I think that reminds me too of what you just said, like, so if this is showing up in work, where is it showing up personally? And I guess I've noticed sometimes I'm able to see like some connections that the client does
me. And then there's also a question about what do they see as the next steps in their development or the next stages. Mm-hmm. And I've never done it this way. Or I've never tried to really encourage somebody. And that might, and at the same time, as I'm thinking about the conversations that we were just having, that might be a way to get into a conversation about what's next for them and how could I be of service for that to them going forward. And here's some ways I think I could help. And so, you know, that could be a way of both deepening their learning in terms of what they've already learned and then looking toward the future and how they could get support going forward.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And I think that, you know, that opportunity, you say you do another check-in further along their path, their coaching path. I think having the opportunity to go back and review original goals and really reflect on, you know, how far they've come, what they've learned, and have an opportunity to modify those goals or augment or shift, depending on, you know, the progress that they've made, the outcomes that they've achieved, or not achieved. Having that continual reflection too can help assess at a given time what they need at that moment and going forward. It's about that continual. It's that continually coming back to their intentions that they had set for themselves, isn't it, a little bit? So Carol, did you have any thoughts on?
Yeah, what's coming to my mind is I got a little distracted, a big old spider decided to walk across my room. What comes to my mind is that so often clients think that what they want to work on is A, B, and C with good and deep coaching. They find that, you know, there's D, E, and F that's underneath the A, B, and C that really is what they want to talk about. And when I think of deepening learning, I think about being able to be fluid, you know, holding space for them to talk about what they think they wanted to talk about, but being able to take them in whatever direction you're intuiting along with them as they, you know, that dance of being able to be present with them, and it is about them, but also being maybe one half step ahead of them, and trusting that process, trusting yourself in that process, seems like an important piece.
I know from my own experience, if I can continue to build on that fluidity, that idea of fluidity and deepening learning, is when my learning, when I'm looking to augment my or deepen my own learning, it's the first piece is having the awareness of what I'm learning, but the second piece is how am I applying it. So I'm reflecting, I don't know how much I ask my clients about this. They have these ahas and they have these learning, you know, what they've learned, but really going into, okay, what are some examples? How are you applying this in this situation? And what is that telling you? So going to that next level of application could support.
Yeah, I think I'm hearing you say, Ariana, is going from the intellect into the embodiment of the change in behavior, taking it lower, you know, living from that new truth that you just experienced in your coaching. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is accurate. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So maybe we could move to the second question. I mean, they're all kind of part and parcel of the same thing, but there might be people looking at question number two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the second one is, how can we help to guide them to do the work they need to do to attain the goals?
Well, and I think what you were just saying is really relevant there in terms of helping them go deeper and, you know, finding what's underneath whatever they're.
Yeah.
So how is this helping you create this?
Sometimes they have to name it. Maybe. Because it's so amorphous that they're not quite sure. So giving it a name or a label, we work through that a bit so that we can then decide, how am I going to do this? What is the gap? Where am I? And then I'll use the 1 to 100% as we're working through it. Where are you right now? Well, I'm at 50%. What would it take to get to 60%?
That probably works really good for your analytical client.
Oh boy, does it, because they don't get the thing part at all.
When you, Chris, when you talk about naming it, what's the it that you have them name?
It's like the, sometimes it's the goal. Okay. I might just ask them to give me a short phrase. Doesn't have to be a SMART goal at all. It's just, what is it that you're wanting to do? Can you give it a name? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, like I say, the book or the chapter. You know, what is the label? Or if they're very upset, can you name how you're feeling at the moment? Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. So that when you name it, it's allowing that prefrontal cortex to say, oh yeah, I'm in control right now. So it brings down a lot of the upset and actually will make them feel a little better once they've named it.
Yeah.
That's cool. I also remind them that baby steps.
Yes.
We're not taking a leap here. Mm-hmm. We're going to take 10 little baby steps, and nothing.
So we've done... You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, because I was just thinking about how you said, yeah, my people don't even feel, you know, their body. And so, you know, this may be hard, but it's one little baby step to the next thing.
Absolutely. That's Kaizen, actually, 1% change. We talk about that, too.
What about you, Carissa?
I think this is probably an area where I want to grow in some more, because I think I typically let them kind of like out of the awarenesses and out of the conversation, you know, okay, so what do you need to do? But I'd like to get better at supporting kind of that fuller picture of like, this, and this is going to get me this type of a thing. Like almost like so I love the name of the book, the name of the chapters, and then, so what's in this chapter to make it the story that you want? That I love that kind of language. And I'm appreciating hearing how you guys do that or think about it, approach it. Cause I want to grow there.
There are times when I go on to a coaching call, in my mind, I try to get my energy up, but sometimes it feels like my head is just, you know, a little dud. Mm-hmm. And so I hope to God that as we go through, it's just intuition that throws things out. And usually it's the right question, although you might say, oh my gosh, that was really dumb, but it's not, because that's what they really want to hear. Mm-hmm.
Deep breaths and where are you feeling that panic?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Just that the presence, right? That you're not alone. And, you know, I'm seeing this pattern here and I'm going to help guide you. And again, to me, a lot of that for me feels intuitive. But and then being able to reflect what it is you that wisdom that you want to share. You know, I've noticed that this is what I'm noticing, but she can't hear it if she's truly in that place of panic. So, like, step one is to get her back in her body, grounded and calm, so that she can listen to what it is you have to say.
Right. Yes. Right. Absolutely. And also, I think the body is, there's a lot of wisdom in terms of just having you know, a client talk to different parts of their, you know, if there's a part that's really tight, having the client, you know, just say what it, you know, just go into, I mean, we have to have this has to be a moment where they're, I wouldn't do it in the middle of a panic moment, but
right.
Just have them recreate that in a session when they're calm and just have them talk to that part. And hear or listen and hear what that part has to say, or to look for find a place in your body, you know, make yourself as tense and make your body feel just like it did, and then explore your body and go, where is a spot that's not tense? And then go to that spot and just notice it and see if it can get bigger. So, and then what is that telling you? I don't use it all the time, and I could probably use it more than I do, but I agree. I think that's really a powerful way to get deeper with a client. And I'm sorry, I know Ariana, I heard your name, and
I'm Carol.
Carol, yes, thank you.
And by the way, my bachelor's degree is in hospitality.
Really? How cool is that?
You know, it's industry that feeds on panic and mayhem and it's just part of the
true
so
I'm learning that.
What about this idea of a client who is, you know, has created these goals and as you know, has this, I guess, is moving towards deepening their own learning, but is really resisting actually doing some of the work outside of the session that they need to do to achieve their goals. If there's an action part to it, and there isn't always an action part to goals, but usually there is. What
that life coaching was a very important part of career coaching or leadership coaching or any kind of coaching that you're doing. Because it affects your life and your life affects what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's all symbiotic. It all goes together. Mm-hmm. And that's what she wrote.
Hey, Donna, when are we supposed to come back? We didn't look at the clock.
You know, let's give it like 2 more minutes.
Okay.
It takes a moment to come back, but yeah. You do need to choose a presenter.
Okay.
So I didn't tell you guys to do that. So. I'll let you do that and then I'll start the process in just like about 2 minutes.
Okay.
I say so, Clarissa.
I agree.
Because from what I understand, you made a commitment last call, you know, and something got in the way. And to me, there's a deepening in learning, right? That maybe there's a pattern there or you know, identifying what, you know. Or it could just be that they had a busy week and what they need to do is let themselves off the hook and not be so hard on themselves if they didn't keep their word. But there's usually something juicy there
mm-hmm.
yeah, to play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I think exactly so. And I love the way that you phrased it, you know, both making a commitment to myself and to them that I'm never going to make them wrong. And then also really looking at, you know, how here I'm noticing and where does this happen in other parts of your life and say a little bit more about that and when. I just think that you're right, that is a really fruitful area of inquiry and a great way to kind of see where that goes and go deeper as we were talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm. And I want to bring in, I want to bring in this concept that we talked about just a few minutes ago about patterns. And I think that's a great opportunity to identify, you know, if this is something that that's recurring, to observe and reflect the pattern that's emerging up for them. So that could, again, yield some, you know, deeper understanding about how they approach these situations.
Okay, I'm going to bring you guys back together. This is Donna. But I think, Ariana, I think you should be the spokesperson just because you had all the visual and you kind of, is that okay with you if you're the spokesperson?
That's fine if it's
okay. Is that okay with you guys?
Plum.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ariana.
Yes, absolutely.
I think it's harder when you don't get the video. So, so just, I'm going to start closing you guys here.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, it looks like your group's joined us back and the other group's starting to come in. Do I have Ariana?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. And so then I think that's everybody. Carol and Plum, are you back with us?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, so I would like to have you share some of the information that you came up with through this process. Who's going to share from the Katie, Chris, and Ariana group? I mean, Katie, Chris, and Carissa group.
Yeah, Carissa is going to share.
Okay, perfect.
So I think for me, from our group, probably what stuck out the most in our conversation along lines of creating longer engagements was probably the word integration and how creating kind of a whole person, an integrated approach to coaching the WHO will both like kind of hits all the high points of deepening the learning, recognizing the work needed to attain the goals and supporting the client. So Chris used the example of sometimes she uses the illustration of a book with a client. You kind of like, what's the title of the book? And then what are the chapters of the book? And then what happens in each of those chapters to create the whole? And I thought that was a really helpful and powerful illustration of kind of the big picture of a coaching engagement and whether you're creating a book around, you know, a specific goal or the bigger picture of life, work, a vision statement. There's a lot in that illustration, I think, that can lend itself towards deepening the learning and supporting the client. So those are some of my highlights or takeaways from our conversation.
Great. Ariana, do you want to present your teams?
Yeah, sure. Sure. So we talked about all the points, and we looked at each one first. So we started with deepening learning, but one of the things we highlighted when it comes to deepening learning is allowing or giving the client opportunity to reflect on, you know, what it is, what their original goals were when they came to coaching, and how they, you know, throughout the coaching engagement, reflect on how they may have changed, how what outcomes have been achieved related to the original goals, what would, you know, really look at how far they've come related to their goals. What would they need for what's next? So an opportunity to shift and say, okay, what are my goals now going forward? What does that look like based on what I've learned and the work that I've done? But it's really creating, helping to create within the client a way to, actually, let me go back to my note here. We talked about the idea of, Carissa talked about a word that came up, and I'll use this word that came up in ours, is fluidity. Being able to help the client deepen learning by taking it from, and Carol said this really well, an intellectual space to an embodiment space. So embodying it, how are you taking it from thinking about it and that creating that level of awareness in your mind? So knowing what's going on, but how are you creating it in a way that you are living it and experiencing it every day, that learning and that awareness that's being created in your coaching sessions and through your coaching engagement. We also talked about, you know, what a client comes to coaching presenting isn't always exactly what they need to work on. So they think it might be here or up here, and there's something underneath that 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 is really represents their true goal or intention. So we talked about that being a very intuitive process to get to the heart of that. We also talked about observing patterns within the client. So really being, and Plum talked about this a lot, is, you know, what's happening when there are certain situations that keep coming up and the client is responding in the same pattern or the same way every time. So being able to observe that and reflect that back to the client can heighten the learning. And we talked about feeling, where clients are feeling tension in their body. So we talked a little bit about that. I don't want to take, hold on, there's one more note here. You know, if a client is really resisting doing some of the work that they need to do to achieve some of these goals, you know, really using that as an opportunity to explore the resistance around, you know, why, what's preventing them from doing the actions that are needed to get closer to the goals, if that's what's required. And I'll go back to something that Carol said, is not making the client wrong in that, but just using it as exploring and creating some curiosity around that. And we talked about, you know, what's happening, where is this resistance possibly showing up in other areas of their life? And it could help shed some light on what's happening. And again, we talked about patterns, where, you know, what patterns are emerging that you as a coach can help to illuminate for your client. So I don't know. Hopefully I've captured that, Plum and Carol.
I think
captured the thoughts.
Yeah, you did great. Thank you. Yes.
Sounded great. Yeah, it sounded great. All of you shared some really important information. I'm going to go just a minute over to kind of point some things out. There are some other ways here on page 31, that just, you know, how can you identify areas for focus? You can ask them what they're finding challenging, what made you tense today, and so forth. But I want to get over, and I talked about that, you know, physical and mental health, and I know that came up in one of the groups, but that's something you should always focus on with a client. I also wanted to point out to you that there's personal goals and work-life goals. And one thing that a lot of you were talking about was using different coaching modalities. So not just brainstorming with the client, not just asking questions, but many things. One of the groups mentioned mind-body, and one of the groups mentioned metaphor. The book is a metaphor. There was also some talk about systems and patterns thinking and that intuition, but there's some other coaching modalities here that you can bring in. So you come at a topic from more than one direction, not just one way, but come at it from three ways, and that will really deepen the learning. So it could be guided imagery, could be affirmation, could be the box thinking, inner child work. Sometimes I have clients draw while they're on the coaching call with me, and then I ask a question, they draw, and then they tell me what they drew. You could show them images, and they could make a choice from images. There's many, many different ways of coaching modalities, and One follow-up I think I would love to hear from you is, what are some other coaching modalities that are not on this list? You know, what have we not thought of in our groups or from here, so that we don't always do mind body and we don't always do metaphor, but that we utilize more different modalities, and that will enrich the coaching, extend the engagement, but what it will do is deepen the behavioral change and help them take the actions they need to take, getting at it from many different angles. Sometimes we forget about visioning. What is what does a successful, especially for job search, what does a successful outcome look like? What does the new job that you want look like? And by visioning, they're able to connect more to that and then take their actions. And also, just the deeper you go, the longer clients will want to stay with you. I mean, just going deep instead of staying at the surface, but going into the things that maybe you're afraid to ask, what is your intuition telling you? When you go deep with the client, that's when they want to stay with you, because that's when they feel connected and that's when they make the most and the deepest change. So, and then I've included some questions here about helping them to see the value in coaching. And I think we need to ask these questions periodically, because they lose track of what the value is, and it just kind of becomes something I do, and they forget about, you know, what the value is that they're getting. So I think that's an important piece as well. So I want to thank you for a very enriching session. You guys are amazing. I learned a lot from you, and I hope you learned a lot from each other, and love having you on the team, and thank you for all your hard work and for the success that we're creating. I'm so excited, and I feel personally so rewarded by the difference that we're making. So thank you, and we'll have things coming up in the future. And any last comments before we close out?
Password.
A password. Anything else?
No, thanks, Donna. This was great.
Okay. Thank you.
It was great.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The closing code is 737. 737. And bye for now. We'll look forward to the next time we're together.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.